Father, you're lovely.
Father, you're lovely. Jesus, you're caring. Spirit, you're awesome to me.
Oh, you are.
You are so lovely. You are so caring. You are so awesome to me.
Sing that one again. Oh, Father, you are.
Father, you're lovely. Jesus, you're caring. Spirit, you're awesome to me.
Oh,
you are so lovely. You are so caring.
Thank you. Yes, Lord, you are so awesome to us. There is nothing that we can say that describes you properly. And there's no amount of worship, adoration that we give that matches up with all that you are. Because, Father, you're much more than our vocabulary. Our words are so limited. So, Lord, just accept our puny praise, worship, adoration, whatever it is that we offer. Because we do not know the extent of your provision, of your peace, of your power, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, who you are, and what you do. Our perspective is so limited. But Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being our Father. And thank you, Lord, O God, that you've not quit on us. You've not given up on us. You daily are picking us up. When we falter, you pick us up. You help us. And daily, your faith says that we're becoming more like you. And we accept what your faith declares over us. For your word is truth. And we say, Father, have your way in our lives. And help us get there. Help us get to that place which you have designed, purposed, and inclined yourself to bring to pass. Help us be all things for your glory. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you this wonderful evening. Good to enjoy the goodness of the Lord and to celebrate his faithfulness. But before I bring the word this evening, I want to say happy Father's Day and express it somehow with this video. And then I'll get to the word. Praise God.
Enjoy your day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Happy
Happy Father's Day.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for giftings. Can you imagine how musical the voice of men are? No instruments were the instrument God gave, and it sounds so amazing. And we thank God for giftings and capacities that God has given to every one of us. May we use it to glorify Him. Amen? Hallelujah. This evening, I want to look at a particular passage of Scripture that we are very familiar with. If I were to say to you, for example, what is the most popular verse in the Bible, what will you say? Wow, look at that, John 3:16. You know, years ago, watching American football, there was a guy always out there with John 3:16. You're watching baseball, there's John 3:16. It was all over the place. I don't know how many people got won to the Lord just because that guy was carrying a placard, John 3:16. How many lives were transformed by that very simple act? Not words, nothing else. John 3:16. Well, if he did that today, I'm sure many more people will get to know what John 3:16 was. Because I'm sure there were some that saw John 3:16 but didn't know what is John. What is that? That guy is always John. John, who is John 3:16? It was still in the age where people still had some idea about what the Bible is. John 3:16. I was driving through the Atlanta area. And somebody had a sign out there, yellow and red markings, on the highway. Jesus, save me. I drove past. Jesus, save me. I thought, that's interesting. Jesus, save me. Somebody must have gotten saved because of that statement. Jesus, save me. They didn't know what they were saying, but the fact that they said, Jesus, save me, he must have taken that and says, okay, I save you. That's how I got saved. That's how this guy got saved. Jesus, save me. And he did. While I was so angry at the person who was trying to communicate the word of God with me, I wanted to punch the guy in the face and run. But he said something that caught my attention. He said, Jesus is going to come back one of these days, and your father is going to be caught up, and I'm going to be caught up, and you're going to be left behind. And I said in my heart, Jesus, save me. I was still very angry at him because he said I was his junior brother. Why are you acting like this? And that got me in the wrong spot. But just because I said, Jesus, save me, he just took it. I'll take that. I wonder how many people have come to salvation just because they made a simple statement. Why? Because God is not willing that anyone perish, but all come to repentance. And so when he saved me, He turned my life around. I was a completely different person that very moment. I was so changed that I did not know I changed. That was how dramatic my salvation was. I thought I was still the same crazy guy, but something had changed on the inside without me being aware of it. The power of God. Well, John 3:16 says this, that God the Father so loved the world, everybody, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Somebody say, should not perish. Say it again, should not perish. It didn't say shall not perish. It said should not. In other words, you can believe and still perish. But you are not meant to perish. That is not what you're supposed to do after you believe in him. You're not meant to perish. But you can perish. What is the difference? The difference is the act of obedience. Someone say obedience. There are people who believe but still perish and do not have everlasting life because they do not obey the word of God. They don't obey the word of God. God says, I want you to forgive so that you can be forgiven. They don't obey the word of God and they hold on to their bitterness. They hold on to their pain. They hold on to whatever it is they're holding on to. And God says, if you don't forgive, I cannot what? Forgive you. He even tells us a parable of a man that was forgiven his debt, who turned around and imprisoned somebody else that owed him just a few pennies, so to speak. And his debt were reinstated on him. Because he didn't just do what God says in his word. How many times do we not listen to the instruction of God and just do our own thing, thinking it's okay? You know, there are so many people that have been preached into heaven when they died who are in hell. Is somebody listening? Because they simply do not want to do the will of God. God's word says, I don't want you to perish. I love you. I give you my beloved Son so that if you believe in him, you should not perish. You should not. You should not. That's not where you should be going. You need to turn around and live a new life. Well, I go to church, and Jesus, our Lord, says, how is it that you're calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say. You and I must obey God. Amen? That is our act of worship and adoration. Our obedience. That is what qualifies you and I to be truly called sons and daughters of the Most High God. Because we live in life as it says we should. In Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. Luke chapter 6, 46. He says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. How is it founded on the rock? Because he was doing what he was commanded to do. The foolish man, but he that heareth. The problem is not that he didn't hear. He says he heareth. And faith comes by what? Hearing. So faith was available, but did not. He says, and doeth not. It's like a man without a foundation. You mean I can hear the word of God? I can have faith and not have a foundation? That's what he said. It's like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which a stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, it collapsed. Just a little push. And the ruin of that house was great. The question I need to ask myself, and the question you need to ask yourself, is this question: how am I building? I came, I heard the word of faith that's supposed to cause me to please God, but I did not use my faith. The Bible says faith without works is death. The wages of sin is what? Death. So coming and hearing the word of God and not doing it equals the same thing. It's not my church going that saves me. It's my obedience to the word of the Lord. I'm called to obey. Someone say that with me. I am called to obey the word of the Lord. The people God puts around us help us to grow in obedience. The Lord Jesus Christ was the epitome of one who obeyed God. If we believe in him, let's go back to John 3:16. God so loved us, he gave us his only begotten Son. What's the name of that Son? Jesus. That whosoever believes in Jesus should not perish. If we believe in Jesus, then we believe that his testimony and what he said is the truth. Yes? If we do not believe that what he said is the truth, then we will live casually. We'll live any which way we want. But our Lord Jesus Christ tells us about the reality of a place called hell. Did he not? Yeah, he did. God is a God of love. He will not send anybody to hell. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus himself said to us, hell was not created for people. It was created for the devil. But anyone who is walking in disobedience is also walking in the light of the devil. And so the one you get yourself married to, you're going to go home with. And if hell is where he's going, there you also are going. Say, Pastor, I'm saved already. I'm in church. Stop talking to me about hell. You're not the only one we're talking about or talking to. There's somebody listening right now that needs to know the truth of the Word of God. Amen? If you're secure in your salvation, praise the Lord. And you should be. Because only Jesus saves. Hallelujah. That is the truth of the Word of God. The Bible tells us about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. He says something very interesting to us. Hebrews 5 and 8. He says, though he were a son, though Jesus was a son, yet learned he obedience. That's the one thing he learned. He had to learn it. Why did he have to learn obedience? Because he was God. Co-equal. He was God. And therefore, any instruction that was being dispatched from the Father to him, he had to humble himself and follow through with what the Father is saying. Hello? And the Holy Spirit is the same. The Holy Spirit is not here, even though the Holy Spirit is God. He's not here promoting himself. He says, it's not about me. It's about what I hear from Jesus and what Jesus heard from the Father. And the instruction from headquarters is what we do. Why? Because God wants to teach us the key, the powerful key of submission. Submission to leadership. I may not like everything, but whatever it is that I'm instructed to do as a good soldier under the lordship of the living God, I am called to obey and fulfill, because it is the will of God concerning me. Amen? When you don't embrace the Word of God and you decide to do things your own way, you position yourself as one who is going to perish. You believe in Jesus, but you're not acting like you believe in Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, then you believe that he says, love one another. Yeah? So if I'm not acting in love, then I'm not acting like him. I'm not following his instruction. When he says to me in his word, I want you to be a giver just like me. But I decide, I don't know about that. No. All the pastor wants is my money. You are in a different situation. What does the word of God teach me to do? I follow that. Now, because you gave does not mean that you're going to go to hell. It just means that you will not see the benefits of giving. Yeah? Are we together? Now, today, as I'm talking to you, there are preachers from the pulpit preaching that it's okay to be an adulterer, to be a fornicator. And the church members are saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, it's good. Where in the Word of God does God's Word say anything like that? Nowhere. So, the guy is acting crazy, and you think because of him preaching his nonsense that you are okay? No, God's Word says you need to study his Word to be a workman approved. God calls you to study his Word yourself. Know what the Word of God says. Did God's Word really say that? Or did God's Word say this? Whatever God's Word says, that's what you need to embrace. Not what some crazy fool decides, you know, after he's eating his hamburger, he's going to tell you. What does the Word of God say? Now we know about John 3:16. But hardly anybody knows what 1 John 3:16 says. What does 1 John 3:16 say? Most believers don't know. It says, hereby, watch this now, hereby perceive we the love of God. This is how we perceive the love of God. Because he did what? He laid down his life for what? Us. He laid down his life for us. And we ought to what? Lay down our lives for the brethren. Oops. He laid down his life for us, and we have to do the same like he did. Lay down our lives for others. How do we do that? By sharing the love of God with them, letting them know about the goodness of God, what God came to do, being witnesses, preachers of the word, proving our ministry as evangelists, messengers of God, telling people about who God is and what God came to accomplish in their lives. But the average believer has not followed the commandment of the Lord, the last commandment of the Lord. Do you know what that is? Huh? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of nations. No, that's a pastor's job. That's why we pay him to be the evangelist. No, God says you and I need to do that. But I'm not perfect yet. When I get perfect, then I will do it. We talked about the prodigal son, that the father put the coat, the best coat, not some used coat, the best coat. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. Shoes representing the preaching of the gospel. And he's saying, hey, you may not be all that yet, but still tell about what God has done for you so far. Tell somebody, well, guy, I still have some issues, but God is cleaning me up. But I tell you what, you need to have Jesus in your life. How long does that take? That's why Jesus came. Oh, they're going to curse me out. Well, lay down your life for your brethren. How do we do this? The word of God says in verse 17, it says, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You see, somebody has a need, but you shut yourself up. I'm not helping him. You say, how dwelleth the love of God in you when you shut up? Well, somebody else is going to do it. Somebody else. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to do it. You know what happens at the end? Nobody does it. Nobody does it. What is in front of you, the statement of God to the Israelites as they were coming to Jericho, after they had the mighty shout on the seventh day, was take everything, just march forward, and whatever is in front of you, take care of that. Yeah, take care of that. If God places somebody in front of you that you know needs help, then do something about it. Somebody else is going to do it. No, nobody else is going to do it. You are challenged to do what you got to do, whichever way God calls you to do it. Find a way. Maybe what you need to do is give them an advice if you don't have the resources. Advise them on what they could possibly do. But the Word of God says, somebody has a need, you say, let me pray for you. And you do nothing. See, that's not it. You got to have faith and you have to have works. Amen? We got to do whatever it is that we need to do. For how long? For as long as it takes. That's how long. For as long as it takes. But they're not receiving me. Do it for as long as it takes. He says, my little children. This is the Father speaking to us through John. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love with action. On this Father's Day, God is saying to us, to you, to me, love by your actions, not just your talk. And hereby we know that we are of the truth. The truth being Jesus. Jesus, our Lord, said, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And shall do what? Assure our hearts before him. In essence, when you and I stand before God, when you and I stand before God, there is a confidence that we stand with, the confidence that we've been obedient and we've loved. That is powerful. It says, and shall assure our hearts before him. No, I'm okay. For if our heart do what? Condemn us. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If your heart is condemning you, God is greater than your heart and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. Oh, I thought it was just the blood that was shed that gives me confidence. No, he says, your loving actions give you confidence. I love people. And every opportunity God gives to me to be a blessing, I am that. Remember Hezekiah? Hezekiah is on his deathbed, and Isaiah comes to him and says, get your house ready, you're going to die. Hezekiah looks up and says, no. Wrong word, wrong person. I have been doing the right thing. You come in here to tell me I'm going to die. And while Isaiah is walking out, God says, you know what? He's right. He has confidence that he's been doing the right thing by me. Go tell him he's not going to die. There's a place that we can stand and say, God, this is not going to work that way. Why are you saying that? I walk obediently before you. I'm following through with what you said. I am loving people, even the people that are not lovable. I choose and I go the extra mile to help somebody else make it. This is not my portion. And you know what? God will stand in agreement with you. It is not that we are saved by works. We're saved by faith. But our works prove that we have the faith and we've used it. God has given me this talent. I'm going to use it. God has gifted me this way. I'm going to use it in a way that glorifies and honors the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I choose righteousness. The benefit of all of this, verse 22 tells us, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we what? Keep his commandments and do those things that are what? Pleasing in his sight. What is pleasing in the sight of God? Faith. But faith put into action. Now, why does it say, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him? It is this that he's saying, that you every day are saying, God, whatever I need today to help the people that you place before me today, I receive. Did you get that? That's why the word of God is saying that. God knows that you don't have what you necessarily need for this day. But if you will ask him, he will give to you what you need for this day to minister to the needs that you are going to be confronted with this day. If what you need is wisdom, you're going to have that wisdom. If what you need is money, you're going to have that money. Why do we not ask? Because remember what we talked about today. Joy is Jesus, others, and then you. Yes? That's what joy is. J, Jesus. O, others. Y, you. When you don't have the Jesus, others, and you mentality, you never ask, because you are asking only for yourself. And the word of God says you ask amiss. Why? To consume things for yourself. Listen, you selfish. If all you live for is what you can collect for yourself. If all you want is just to get by, you're selfish. God wants you and I to think abundance. I have more than enough. Why? Not so I can go store it somewhere, but so that I can be a giver. That's what makes me more like him. There should not be any poor Christians. Did you hear what I said? Because the anointing, the first thing the anointing is meant to do is to break the backbone of poverty. It has nothing to do with how educated you are. It's about you not living just for yourself. Oh, I'm so sad. I don't have a job. Okay? Why do you want a job? You know what the word of God says? It says so that you can have seed. that's why you go to work, so that you can have seed to be somebody who helps other people. That's the reason. It's not about me, myself, and I. That's not what God is calling us to do. When we live our lives that way, we are self-centered and selfish. You got to have so that you can be a blessing. So you can be a blessing. Now, I'm not here blowing my own trumpet. But there are times with my whatever it is that I have, that I pay people's wages because I see what they have, and what they have is not enough to do what. So I say, you know what? I'm going to pay your wage. So I sow, I sow, I sow, I sow. And guess what God does? He brings into my hand. Think I live by what I get paid from here? I don't have any other job. The only job I got is to stretch my hand and say, God, I receive. I receive so I can be a blessing. 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 I cannot see this person in need and not do something about it. I got to do something. If I don't have it, somebody I know must have it. So God, show me where this, whatever the resource is that's necessary so I can meet this need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why we have given as a church, as a community, to freeing slaves. How can we see this person? Do we have needs here? Absolutely. Do I have issues? Absolutely. Does everybody give? Absolutely not. Does that mean we should not give? Absolutely not. What are we going to do when you have a need? So, just so. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to invest himself so that God, our Father, can have sons. The Son died so that the Father can have sons. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that you want, you got to sow. Praise the Lord. That's what fathers do. Father wants sons, he sowed his son. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are we together? So the word of God says we got to lay down our lives. It says, and this is his commandment, verse 23, that we should what? Believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love what? One another as he gave us what? Commandment. That's a commandment. I gave my son, and because I loved, you got to do the same thing like me. I'm your father. You got to look like me. Hello? The question I need to ask myself today is this. How am I looking? How am I looking? Am I looking like him? Or am I looking like the world? He says, and he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. How? By the Spirit which he had given us. That's how we know. By the Spirit that he's given us. What is our Spirit? His Word. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. So how do I know that I abide in him? By my obedience to that Word. By my actions of love. By me going that extra mile. He says, somebody smacks you on this side, turn the other face. Turn the other side. Ask you for your shirt, give them your coat only, also. Do like I do. Paul the apostle goes on further and he says, follow me like I follow Christ. He wasn't saying, hey, I'm the one you should follow. He says, I'm following him. So I'm called to be an example to you. I'm committed, I'm honed in, I'm locked in into him. And I tell you what, if you just do what I do, you're going to be okay. Can I make that same statement? Can you make that same statement? That's the question. My spiritual father made a statement that shook me to the core. He said, I have never disobeyed God. Why did he shake me to the core? Because when God asked me to do something, I always argued. No, we're not doing that. What do you mean we're not doing that? I don't like that. And always ended up doing what he said, but without a fight. So I learned, you're going to lose this battle. Why argue? Just do what Papa says. You're going to be fine. And I'm saying to you and I, stop sitting on the fence. Go all the way with God. Let's go all the way. Life is short. How long are you going to go all the way with him? Maybe you're 90, maybe you're 100, maybe you're 120, maybe you even 200. Let's stretch it. 200 years. What is that? In view of time, nothing. Just obey Papa and do what he said. He says, love people. See, that's how you stay in me. I don't have anybody dwelling in me that isn't walking in love. And if you are not in him, John 15 says, you're going to be cut off. How am I going to let somebody get to me to the extent that I don't operate in love towards them and end up forever being cut off from the Father? I'm going to love your sorry self just because, he said. That's enough. I'm going to just love. Oh, you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said to me. None of it is going to take anything from you. Somebody pours an insult on you. Big deal. They spat on Jesus. What really, really? What is anybody going to do to you that warrants you losing out with God? Can you imagine anything? Well, they did this. That's why I did this, in revenge. And God says, don't be doing that vengeance, revenge thing. Vengeance is mine. Let me take care of it. You get out of it. And you know what? It is going to be well. Oh, they didn't apologize yet. Why are you so interested in somebody apologizing anyway? They hurt your pride? Well, God hates pride. So what is the reason? I'm not preaching at you. I'm just having a private discussion for myself right now. If you don't want to hear what I'm saying, then I keep it to myself. Really. The Word of God says, the commandments of God are not grievous. They're not irksome. And he says to us that we can do all things through Christ. Do we believe that? I can do whatever it takes, I can do it. Whatever the trial is, whatever the temptation is, I can do it because of him. That's the bottom line. The Father loves us with an everlasting love and is giving us an instruction. My instruction to you is just love. Outdo each other with love. Just love. That's what I'm asking you to do. Just love people. Share what you've got with them. Don't be self-centered and selfish, thinking that the whole world revolves around you. Understand that you are here as a fruit bearer, and fruits don't eat themselves. Hello? Fruit is meant to be eaten by others. Everybody wants something from me. Then thank God. And say, God, give me more. Father, give me more. So I have more to share. Give me more. Lord, I can give 90% of whatever it is I have away, and the 10% is more than enough for me. Give me more. That does not mean that I need to live broke. Hello? That means I can still be very wealthy. Because wealth is not a bad thing. God's word says, wealth and riches are in the house of the upright, the righteous. Is that what the word of God says? It says that? I didn't make it up. So what is the word of God saying? He's saying that whatever it is that I need is in my house. The widow came to the prophet and says, they're about to take my children. And he says, what do you have in your house? He said, I only have one pot of oil. He says, go borrow more. I just told you I'm in debt. You're telling me to go borrow more? Yeah, go borrow more. So she goes and she borrows more. And she started pouring the oil that she had, what she had. And she started filling all these pots. And when she filled the last one, the oil stopped flowing. What kind of capacity do you and I have? It is enough for us and for others. And I want you to think and consider today how God can use me, can use you to minister to others and see their needs met. Because he has so much invested in us and is able to take whatever little we've got. Remember this, Jesus only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Yes? The disciples said, what is this going to do among so many? He said, sit them down. I'll show you. And he takes that little that he had and he feeds 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women and the children. There could have been 15,000 people there. Could have been 20,000 people there. But they were all fed from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And at the end of all of that feeding, he gathers up 12 baskets. You say you don't have enough? Think again. Think again. And begin to remind yourself, God, you have so much. I don't see it. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. The problem is, we're so blind. We got to see what God has available. He meets all of our needs according to what? The economy of Canada. The U.S., Great Britain, according to the riches of the world. Yeah? No? According to his riches. His riches. In glory. And God, I believe, wants to dispatch some of that to us. Because what do I need the riches in glory up there for? I need it here. There are problems here that need to be solved. And God wants to make me a solution. He says, when you pray, because you've been fruitful, he says, when you ask anything, I will give it you. Because you become the solution. God wants to make me the solution. Not so that people can come serve me and say, Abba, Father. No. So that their needs are met and they glorify the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we believe God for more? Can we believe God to give us that mind, the mind of Christ, that goes beyond me, myself, and I, but lays down his life for others? Anybody wants that? Then let's rise together. Heavenly Father, we've heard your word, and we see very clearly our shortcomings in so many areas. But we are also reminded of the reality of your faithfulness, that you are our God, a God who wants us to walk in love and not to leave any soldier down, defeated, and in want. So, Lord, we're asking that you will open our eyes, open our ears, grant us supernatural faith that is activated and manifesting itself by actions, works. Lord, O God, that we are able to provide because we have more than enough. No matter what it is that we have, it is more than enough. You sent the prophet Elijah to the widow of Zarephath. He said, I've commanded her to take care of you. And when he got there, the woman had nothing but a cruse of oil and some flour. Well, you sent him there to minister to her so that she can minister to him. The prophet said, go bake the bread, whatever it is, and give me food to eat. And she says, I just have enough for myself and my son. We're going to eat this and die. Her vision was so limited. It was a vision of death, a vision of lack. Yes, lack was present, but Lord, oh God, you had abundance on your mind. And when she obeyed by giving her little, the oil did not stop, the flour did not stop. Now she could eat, her son could eat, the prophet could eat, and her servants could eat. Everybody fed. Every need met. Lord, take what we've got and do something extraordinary with it. Help us walk in love. Help us to look beyond ourselves and recognize that there are needs out there that need to be addressed. And Lord, we are volunteering ourselves to come before you to be vehicles that you can use to meet the needs of so many, locally and globally. Let that anointing fall upon us now. And may we have the capacity, the insight, the foresight, the ability to see your provisions, to see things in a very creative manner. And Lord, oh God, help us in this plan to declare, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And use us to do so, so that your name, Heavenly Father, may be hallowed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Let us trust God for the manifestation of His will and His purpose. You know, I was in a church in one of my trips recently, and they don't do what we do here. In terms of having an offering time or whatever, the people just know what they're called to do. And they give. I saw that, I said, wow, I've not seen this before. I'm going to take this. I'm going to believe God for that day when we don't need to say anything. People just know that this is part of the lifestyle, the culture of believers. Just give. They are much or they are little. And that particular ministry, they have no debt. None at all. And it's not a small ministry. They just simply don't have any debt. They are doing all kinds of amazing things. Buying buildings and whatever else and making room for people. They don't even care about what the government wants or doesn't want. It's just, this is what God wants us to do, and they go do it. And it's in a small town. Really small, smaller than Brandon. Wow. I say, look at that. Look at what God can do with people that just believe His word and just act on it. Why not us? Praise the Lord. Rise with me one more time. Father, we have honored you with our giving. I will thank you for the move of your Spirit in our midst, that Lord, oh God, that you're changing our hearts and you're helping us, oh God, to be a people of love, a people that give, a people that respond and find ways to resolve issues. lifting up burdens off of men and women that have been crushed by the weight of stuff that is just pushing them down. May we be the vehicles of your love that lift up men and women and give them the capacity to hope and say to them, there's a lifting up in our God. Use our lives as your emissaries, as your missionaries, as your representatives in seeing change in our world. Use us, we ask. May the hand of God rest upon every one of you. May God bless our seed sown, multiplying it and bringing forth increase. May our lives testify of the goodness of God as we eat the fruit of that goodness. In Jesus' mighty name, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May we have the banner of the fruit that we eat in this month. And while you're getting that ready, I'm going to dismiss those that are on Facebook and YouTube and all of that, and then I'm going to greet those that are online with us. This month we celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Remember what we said this morning. We rejoice to see. Remember that? Abraham rejoiced to see the day of the Lord, and he saw it. Our seeing is in our rejoicing. Amen? So I encourage everyone to celebrate the goodness of God. That is a promise. Eat that fruit. If you literally need to get a fruit to eat for you to get that scripture in, get your apple, your orange, your grapes, or whatever, and as you toss it in your mouth, say, I'm eating the goodness of the Lord. Amen? Rejoice, and you will see the manifestation of the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let me say hello to those that are on online. There is brother.